WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
Challenges denied. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. A series of legal obstacles for the Trump campaign. In Pennsylvania, half a dozen court cases were dismissed yesterday. The campaign had been trying to invalidate more than 9,000 absentee ballots received after Election Day. In Michigan, a judge denied a bid to stop the certification of the election results in Detroit.
The courts have not been a safe haven for the numerous challenges issued by the campaign. In fact, there have been a few setbacks, including in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. And there have also been a couple of withdrawals in places like Nevada and Arizona. So the question now becomes, can the campaign prove or at least convince a court that there was enough fraud to make a difference in the states that were close on election night?
Fox's Kevin Cork. President Trump hasn't conceded to President-elect Joe Biden, but during his first public remarks yesterday since the election, the president alluded to the possibility that he may not serve a second term. While discussing COVID-19 vaccine development, the president said this.
This administration will not be going to a lockdown. Hopefully whatever happens in the future, who knows which administration it will be. I guess time will tell. But I can tell you this administration will not go to a lockdown.
As for the vaccine, the president predicted the FDA would approve an emergency use authorization for a Pfizer vaccine in a matter of weeks, with distribution to vulnerable populations shortly after. Since the president hasn't conceded, Biden is not receiving classified briefings on the pandemic.
The president-elect is pledging to lead a unified effort next year. Until then, he wants to see more from the Trump administration, saying the crisis does not respect dates on the calendar. It is accelerating right now.
Fox says Peter Ducey, part of Biden's plan includes a surge of supplies to hospitals. America's listening to Fox News.
Carolers, that's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 30% off a new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 30% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 30% off and a free camera today.
Time's running out to win over $2 million from Publishers Clearing House. Enter at PCH.com, and your family could soon be celebrating the win of a lifetime. The $2,500,000 mega prize is guaranteed to be awarded this December. Go to PCH.com before it's too late. That's PCH.com. Better hurry if you want to win big. Enter now at PCH.com. Entries due 11/29. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
And Amazon Alexa.
Two men are under arrest in connection with the shooting death of a police officer in eastern Arkansas. One of them is charged with capital murder. The shooting took place Thursday outside a motel. The suspects were nabbed in neighboring Mississippi. Bond denied for a father and son in Georgia. Gregory and Travis McMichael are charged with the February murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Prosecutors believe Arbery was targeted because he was black.
Arbery's family was at court.
But y'all took his life. Do y'all know what that's doing to us? This is the worst thing I ever had to go through in my life.
The McMichaels insist they had no racial motivation when confronting Arbery and are not guilty.
Fox's Evan Brown, a neighbor of the McMichaels who recorded video of the incident, is also facing charges. The Atlantic hurricane season is showing no signs of slowing down. Tropical storm Iota is swirling in the Caribbean and could strengthen quickly into a major hurricane as it approaches Central America, a region still suffering in the aftermath of Hurricane Eta. Iota is the 30th named storm of this record-setting season. Weather is to blame for the delay of a SpaceX flight. Instead of lifting off tonight from Florida's Cape Canaveral, the flight to the International Space Station has been postponed to Sunday night. Four astronauts will make the journey.
SpaceX beginning a historic new chapter with NASA, going from launching test flights to now launching regularly scheduled contracted crew flights from Florida to low Earth orbit. It's really the biggest launch for NASA since the space shuttles retired. Once the Dragon docks with the space station, the crew begins a full 6-month stay doing research and science.
Fox's Phil Keating, it's unclear if SpaceX owner Elon Musk will be at Sunday's launch. He has tested both negative and positive for the coronavirus. Cam Puso, Fox News.
You will find slow-going traffic on the Beltway outer loop between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard. Construction there again this weekend. Along the left side of the roadway, traffic is jammed through the work zone. Also, there is road work on the outer loop in Virginia between Arlington Boulevard and the 495 express lanes in the left lane till about 7 o'clock this morning, but that is not causing delays. Keep in mind that due to demonstration activity, many streets along the National Mall will be closed today, including Constitution Avenue between Pennsylvania Avenue and 18th Street in Northwest. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny skies today. High pressure dominating the region on this Saturday. Temperatures, they're going to be in the cool side, only into the mid-50s. As we head tonight, clouds will be on the increase, particularly late. We'll see lows back in the 40s across the region. For your Sunday, showers will become likely as a strong cold front moves through. Breezy winds as well. Most likely timing for the rain, early afternoon through the mid-afternoon hours. High temperatures tomorrow in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Need an escape? Then gaze skyward and listen to the Wild Thing podcast as host Laura Krantz searches for extraterrestrial life.
The Pentagon's secret UFO program wasn't the military's first flirtation with this world.
Gaze skyward for season 2 of Wild Thing.
It was truly breathtaking. As a pilot and a former Air Force officer, I can definitively say that this craft did not resemble any man-made object that I'd ever seen.
Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Retired federal employees, the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan offers you a number of great benefits, like nationwide coverage, no out-of-pocket costs on covered medical services, a Part B premium subsidy, a free fitness program, hearing aid coverage, and more peace of mind to make the most of your well-earned retirement. It's time to take advantage. Open season for federal retirees starts on November 9th. Learn why the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan may be a smart choice. Call United Healthcare at 1-844-481-8821 or visit www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. That's 1-844-481-8821 or www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. This plan is only available to retired federal employees. Benefits and features may vary by plan or area. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and sometimes when I'm out and about, people will say, "Is it really true that you loved your Good Feet Art Support so much that you bought the store?" Of course it is, I say. And I never dreamed that I would run marathons and continue to stay active without my feet getting in the way. When I bought the store in 2014, I would have never imagined that tens of thousands of customers would find relief from foot, knee, and back pain. The support of these loyal customers has allowed us to open new stores throughout Virginia, Maryland, and now North Carolina. I love to hear their stories of walking, running, and just enjoying their new life pain-free. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from living the life you love. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk, and get your own Good Feet story. To find the store nearest you, go to goodfeet.com. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, Maryland.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton producing for us this morning. And some things to cover today. We have a huge mega march planned for Washington, D.C. It kicks off at 12 noon in Freedom Plaza. And there are Trump supporters from around the country in Washington for that rally today. Nearly a dozen Trump rallies are expected to take place in the Los Angeles area, including a car parade, a car rally, and marches everywhere from Beverly Hills to Woodland Hills in Los Angeles alone. So there will be MAGA rallies around the country today. Big news, of course, yesterday, President Trump making his first appearance in public where he spoke since the election. Of course, he had been out at Arlington National Cemetery on Veterans Day, but did not speak at that event. He held a coronavirus briefing at the White House yesterday, and here is how he kicked it off.
No medical breakthrough of this scope and magnitude has ever been achieved this rapidly, this quickly. Operation Warp Speed is unequaled and unrivaled anywhere in the world.
And part of what the president did yesterday was to clear up some things that had been confusing in the media. And one of those was Pfizer. You may have heard that Pfizer, when they made the announcement about their vaccine, had come out and said that they really weren't part of Operation Warp Speed, and then they walked that back. Well, here's how the president explained that and also talks about that vaccine.
As a result of Operation Warp Speed, Pfizer announced on Monday that its China virus vaccine is more than 90% effective. This far exceeds any and all expectations. Nobody thought they'd get to that level. And we have others coming which we think will be at equal level, maybe more if that's possible. In July, my administration reached an agreement with Pfizer to provide $1.95 billion to support the mass manufacturing and distribution of 100 million doses, with the option to purchase a total of 600 million doses shortly thereafter. Our investment will make it possible for the vaccine to be provided by Pfizer free of charge. Pfizer said it wasn't part of Warp Speed, but that turned out to be an unfortunate misrepresentation. They are part. That's why we gave them the $1.95 billion. And it was an unfortunate mistake that they made when they said that.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about lockdowns, and even some of the states are beginning lockdowns. Chicago has implemented one. Utah will be among those implementing lockdowns. And here's how the president feels about a national lockdown under the Trump administration.
This administration will not be going to a lockdown. Hopefully, whatever happens in the future, who knows which administration it will be. I guess time will tell. But I can tell you this administration will not go to a lockdown. There won't be necessity. Lockdowns cost lives, and they cost a lot of problems. The cure cannot be, you got to remember, cannot be worse than the problem itself. And I've said it many times. And when you look at what happens during a lockdown, I just say it very loudly. It's horrible what happens with drugs, alcohol, depression, loss of jobs, business closures. It's a terrible thing.
And that's the president on lockdowns. And he also talked about the progress on therapeutics.
As far as therapeutics are concerned, my administration's also made critical investments in therapies that have helped reduce the mortality rate by 85%. That's, to me, one of the most exciting things. It's incredible, some of the antibody vaccines and others that have come out and have really helped people. 85%. Last month, the FDA approved remdesivir, and we've secured enough remdesivir to treat 850,000 patients. My administration finalized an agreement with Eli Lilly to purchase the first doses of their antibody therapy, which shows amazing results. This treatment will be available completely free of cost to patients. 5,000 units have already been shipped, and many more are going out the door as we speak. We've also reached an agreement with AstraZeneca for the large-scale manufacturing of their antibody treatment, which is excellent. We expect to issue emergency use authorizations for a number of additional treatments in the near future. Tremendous promise.
And you might say, why are you playing all these long Trump clips this morning? Well, one of the reasons is that we heard 6 months of the media and the Democrats saying that the Trump administration had no plan to address the COVID-19 crisis and was really not taking any action and was chaos and had no idea what they were doing, had nothing in place to try and stop the spread of the virus. And I think you are seeing from some of the news that is coming out this week that indeed vaccines were just around the corner. And I think Mike Pence kind of sums it up here as he spoke yesterday as well at the White House.
Mr. President, it was your vision that we could harness the ingenuity and the creativity of America's greatest pharmaceutical and research companies to speed in record time a vaccine that would save American lives You told the American people that we would have a vaccine before the end of the year, and some scoffed at that timetable. But I can tell you, the team on Operation Warp Speed didn't. These great research companies didn't. And as you've articulated here, Mr. President, the American people can be comforted with all the news this week that help is on the way, that literally pending FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine and perhaps very soon another vaccine that will be submitted by Moderna and even other companies, that before the year is out, we'll be able to administer a vaccine to tens of millions of Americans, as you've said, Mr. President, beginning with those most vulnerable, beginning with our seniors all across this country, beginning with our healthcare workers and first responders at the point of the need.
So that's Vice President Pence yesterday, that all taking place at the White House. It's 6:15. We've got plenty to cover on the Saturday Morning Update, and we've got a group of experts to take care of it for us. We'll be talking with Jennifer Harper coming up within this half hour. And Jennifer's got some very interesting information this morning on the media analysis of the election and claims that the president is floundering with this sort of effort to do litigation and how the media is handling that. Also, how the media is now attacking Trump voters, and what does that mean? We'll have an incoming blitz from President Obama. The former president's memoir is out this coming Tuesday, and Jennifer's got a preview of some of the appearances and what will be happening in the media with the former president. Also this morning, we've got Gordon Chang back with us. Haven't talked to Gordon in a while with, of course, the focus on the elections. But Gordon is back with us, and we're going to talk about the president's executive order this week about investing in companies. Certain companies in China are now on the list, and we'll talk to Gordon as well about what to anticipate in a Biden administration. If that comes to pass, what will the administration be in terms of dealing with China? So we'll talk to Gordon about that. John Gizzi's coming up. He, of course, is the White House correspondent at Newsmax, and he was at the White House yesterday. He'll give us more on that coronavirus briefing. Some good news for the Republicans. Just about every morning when we wake up, another House seat has flipped to the Republican Party. Gil Cisneros, the latest Democrat to lose in California, that announcement made last night. So yet it is a Saturday morning and another morning of another Republican seat in the House. The incoming chief of staff would be Ron Klain in a Biden administration, and we're going to find out a lot more about Ron Klain. May have heard about Bernie Sanders as a potential Secretary of Labor. What would that mean? And the whole debate and discussion between AOC and the moderate Democrats. We're going to talk about all of this with John Gizzi this morning. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us. He's following the election lawsuits and also looking at the forensics in some of this. So we'll talk with Tony about that, and we'll talk with KT about what happens in a transition. So we've got a lot to cover on the Saturday Morning Update, and we'll also be talking with Jim Trusty. He's talking with us about the legal aspects of the Trump campaign litigation and the latest from Adam Schiff. I bet you can't wait for that. But for the moment, it is 6:18, and Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Slow going traffic through a work zone on the outer loop of the Beltway between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard, where the two left lanes are blocked and traffic is jammed through the work zone. Also, do watch out for some road work right now on 66 westbound between Route 29 and Centerville in the car rest area in the right lane. Looks like that is causing some slow traffic, and you may still find the work zone in place eastbound on 66 between Nutley Street and the Beltway. Also, keep in mind that due to demonstration activity, many streets are now being closed along the National Mall area, including K Street between 9th Street and 18th Street in Northwest. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny skies today. High pressure dominating the region on this Saturday. Temperatures, they're going to be in the cool side, only into the mid-50s. As we head tonight, clouds will be on the increase, particularly late. We'll see lows back in the 40s across the region. For your Sunday, showers will become likely as a strong cold front moves through. Breezy winds as well. Most likely timing for the rain, early afternoon through the mid-afternoon hours. High temperatures tomorrow in the mid-60s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
43 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:19 now on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
And it is the Saturday morning update, and we are so glad that you have joined us this morning. A very interesting story from late yesterday. You know, we've all been told that we're probably not going to be able to get together with our families for Thanksgiving, and Christmas is going to be virtual this year, and we should keep our distance, and potential of lockdowns spreading around the country. Well, you've heard all of that. Well, how about a little dinner that was planned at the Capitol last night? It was an indoor dinner, and it was planned to be a swanky little event. There are pictures of all the tables set, and they're socially distanced, but, I mean, it's not like one person is going to sit at one table. You're going to have groups of people at each table. Well, the picture went out, and Nancy Pelosi faced some severe criticism, and the criticism that the event was unsafe during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. It was a picture from the NBC congressional correspondent Leanne Caldwell of the original setup in Statuary Hall in the Capitol building. It started gathering attention on Twitter. Now, Speaker Pelosi told her it was safe and very spaced, but the criticism of the event continued to grow. Drew Hamill, the deputy chief of staff for Pelosi, said, "To be a further model for the nation, this event has been modified to allow members-elect to pick up their meals to go in a socially distanced manner." So it became a grab-and-go. "The office strictly follows the guidelines of the Office of Attending Physician, including for this dinner," he said. Hamill told USA Today the dinner would be only grab and go, and clarified no one will be eating in the space. He later tweeted last night, "Members-elect are now picking up their boxed meals and departing the Capitol. There is no group dinner." But there would have been. Double standard? What, quadruple standard? Is that how we look at this stuff? Hey, I want to go to a clip from Chuck Schumer. This is great. You know, he was down in Georgia. This is Cut H. He was down in Georgia, and he was very, very euphoric after the Biden victory and looking forward to the Georgia runoff coming up on January 5th. And Chuck Schumer basically produced the Republican senatorial campaign ad. This is Chuck.
"Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world. Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America."
Okay, well, that went over real well, and we'll see how that goes over in Georgia. Well, I mentioned that the former president, Barack Obama, is going to be out on a media blitz. And this is basically for the book that comes out on Tuesday. He appears on 60 Minutes tomorrow night. And this is a preview clip from 60 Minutes of the former president, Barack Obama.
"They appear to be motivated in part because the president doesn't like to lose and never admits loss. I'm more troubled by the fact that other Republican officials who clearly know better are going along with this, are humoring him in this fashion. It is one more step in delegitimizing not just the incoming Biden administration, but democracy generally. And that's a dangerous path."
The irony here is, and I probably don't have to tell you this, but the irony is that the Democrats spent 4 years, including the time leading up to inauguration, 4 years delegitimizing the presidency of Donald Trump and also damaging the notion of our democracy in order to attack Donald Trump. And now they've gotten 10 days of the same medicine that they gave Donald Trump for 4 years, and they're very, very upset. Well, remember what Hillary Clinton said about Joe Biden should not concede. Well, this is Donald Trump just following the Hillary Clinton game plan now, isn't it? Here she is.
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
Huh. How quickly Democrats forget. Isn't it amazing how quickly they forget? It is 6:25. It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Many schools are still using remote online learning, so do you worry about the quality of education your son is getting? Vince Colonnais here, and I want to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. They are now accepting enrollments for an in-person classroom experience with classes starting this January for their spring semester. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union Military Academy is one of the nation's leading college prep boarding schools for young men in grades 7 through 12. Would your son learn better with a bit more structure? Fork Union's unique one subject plan curriculum really works to help students reach their full potential. In fact, 100% of their graduating seniors gain college acceptance. Plus, Fork Union emphasizes traditional core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, and discipline. Help your son thrive at Fork Union. Learn more about their spring semester enrollments for a safe on-campus in-person learning experience, guaranteed to help your son achieve success in the classroom, in athletics, and in life. Visit ForkUnion.com. That's ForkUnion.com.
This is an important message for military retirees, their families, and active duty family members. Did you know you have a TRICARE Prime option that gives you more without costing you more? For more than 35 years, Johns Hopkins U.S. Family Health Plan has delivered high-quality care to military beneficiaries. Visit belongathopkins.com to learn more about the difference Johns Hopkins U.S. Family Health Plan can make for you and your family. That's belongathopkins.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
I'm not up early for work. I'm awake for my favorite girl. This is the life I pictured after retiring from the federal government. I want to stay healthy for more days like this, so I picked an Aetna health plan that takes a total approach to my health. It's just for federal retirees. It fits my budget with low premiums and low out-of-pocket costs. I can even get help with some out-of-pocket expenses. I've got other things to spend my money on.
Grandpa!
To learn more or chat live online, visit aetnafeds.com/radio.
It's the Mattress Warehouse Buy One, Get One event. This week only on select items, buy one mattress, get one free. Or buy the mattress and get the box spring free. All pillows, protectors, and sheets are buy one, get one 50% off. And for a limited time, get free delivery on all orders over $499. That's free delivery and setup in your home. Visit sleephappens.com for a location near you and to learn about their clean shop promise. Only at Mattress Warehouse.
Saturday Morning Update does continue. I'm Rick Fowler. So glad you have joined us this morning. And we're speaking of some of the short memories of Democrats. I want to remind you of something that Governor Cuomo in New York said back on October 19th, because it relates to comments that the president made at the coronavirus briefing yesterday. The president saying that he would be delivering the vaccines around the country with the exception of the state of New York. And if you go to Google News, there must be 100 stories that Trump will not deliver the vaccine to New York. And it's all, basically blaming Trump for not sending the vaccines to New York. Well, let's remind you and remind Governor Cuomo of what he said on October 19th. Here's Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York with George Stephanopoulos.
How confident are you in the approval process of the FDA right now?
Well, first, how confident am I? I'm not that confident, but my opinion doesn't matter. I don't believe the American people are that confident. You're going to say to the American people now, here's a vaccine. It was new. It was done quickly. But trust this federal administration and their health administration that it's safe. We're not 100% sure of the consequences. I think it's going to be a very skeptical American public about taking the vaccine, and they should be. You're going to need someone other than this FDA and this CDC saying it's safe.
Well, that was a little campaign push there during the election to discredit the president's efforts to fight the coronavirus, to discredit Operation Warp Speed. And he basically set up President Trump to say this yesterday.
As soon as April, the vaccine will be available to the entire general population, with the exception of places like New York State, where for political reasons, the governor decided to say, and you know, I don't think it's good politically. I think it's very bad from a health standpoint, but he wants to take his time on the vaccine. He doesn't trust where the vaccine's coming from. These are coming from the greatest companies anywhere in the world, greatest labs in the world. But he doesn't trust the fact that it's this White House, this administration. So we won't be delivering it to New York until we have authorization to do so. And that pains me to say that. This is a very successful, amazing vaccine at 90% and more. But so the governor, Governor Cuomo, will have to let us know when he's ready for it. Otherwise, we can't be delivering it to a state that won't be giving it to its people immediately.
Well, you notice the president said he would deliver it once he was asked to by the governor. But the way the press spun that one out of control yesterday, it was though the president was refusing to provide the vaccines for New York. So here's how Governor Cuomo summed it up yesterday.
He uses government as a retaliatory tool. And as you know, Wolf, New Yorkers are not going to get bullied. I stand up for New Yorkers, and I'm not going to let a bully push New Yorkers around.
Okay. 6:30 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Retired federal employees. The United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan offers you a number of great benefits, like nationwide coverage, no out-of-pocket costs on covered medical services, a Part B premium subsidy, a free fitness program, hearing aid coverage, and more peace of mind to make the most of your well-earned retirement. It's time to take advantage. Open season for federal retirees starts on November 9th. Learn why the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan may be a smart choice. Call United Healthcare at 1-844-481-8821 or visit www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. That's 1-844-481-8821 or www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. This plan is only available to retired federal employees. Benefits and features may vary by plan or area. Limitations and exclusions apply.
And a couple of news notes. In California, Republican Young Kim has defeated the Democrat Representative Gil Cisneros in Southern California. It was a rematch from 2018 when Cisneros had delivered an upset in what had been a long-standing GOP district. It's in Orange County. The victory announced for Republican Kim yesterday. It's the 39th congressional district. And overcoming President Trump's performance in Democratic California. And the Republicans have picked up at least 6 House seats now in the state of California. Johns Hopkins is reporting the coronavirus case count now in the United States at well over 10,700,000, 240 deaths reported. The Nevada governor, Steve Sisolak, on Friday announcing that he has tested positive for COVID-19. He is the 5th governor to test positive for the coronavirus this year. 6:33, this is the Saturday Morning Update, and Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Slow-going traffic on the Beltway Outer Loop between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard, where the 3 left lanes are blocked with roadwork once again this weekend, causing very slow traffic there. Now, also keep in mind that in South Kensington, Beach Drive is closed in both directions between the Kensington Parkway and Garrett Park Road to allow for social distance recreation. And also do keep in mind that in the district, a portion of Douglas Street is closed in both directions between Queens Chapel Road and 22nd Street Northeast for water main repairs. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny skies today. High pressure dominating the region on this Saturday. Temperatures, you're going to be in the cool side, only into the mid-50s. As we head tonight, clouds will be on the increase, particularly late. We'll see lows back in the 40s across the region. For your Sunday, showers will become likely as a strong cold front moves through. Breezy winds as well. Most likely timing for the rain, early afternoon through the mid-afternoon hours. High temperatures tomorrow in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
And it's 6:35. It's 43 degrees in the nation's capital.
We never thought 2020 was going to be this challenging, did we? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and during this difficult time, we need hope. We need a kind of hope that is not just wishful thinking, but rather hope defined as a confident expectation. Let's see hope when we see so many neighbors leaving their homes to exercise and pursue a healthy lifestyle. Let's see hope when we see diverse groups marching together in pursuit of justice and equality. Let's see hope when we see faithful police officers pursue their calling of caring for their neighbors and communities. We have a lot of outstanding problems in our world today, but let's see hope and have hope. Let's work together, play together, and let's dream together. At the Good Feet Store, we would love to help you find hope again. Let's see if we can help you work better, play better, and start dreaming without your feet getting in the way. The Good Feet Store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, or visit us at goodfeet.com.
We're glad you've joined us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jennifer Harper joins us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
President Trump not only ran against Vice President Biden, but he ran against the media. He ran against the late night shows. He ran against 4 years of allegations that were unfounded. But I wanted to specifically hone in on the media. You have an analysis about the media's relationship to election results.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the media. It's almost like you don't know where to start this week. It's just been one thing after another. And our good friends over there at the Media Research Center were really kind of on top of things this week. They actually conducted a post-election poll, and they found out, this is a voter poll, and it was an ambitious voter poll, and they found out that 36% of voters who chose presumptive President-elect Joseph R. Biden were not aware of the evidence that linked him to the, quote, corrupt financial dealings with China through his son, Hunter Biden. That's according to the poll. And this is coming from the Media Research Center. And they said 13% of these voters say that had they known these facts, they would not have voted for the vice president. So they did all the math on this. This is 1,000 voters they did the poll with. So they found out the net effect was that 13.1% of the Biden voters said that they would not have voted for Mr. Biden if they had been properly informed. Again, this is coming from the Media Research Center. So they did the math. Applying this to the most closely contested states, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, would today all be in the Trump column, giving the president 289 electoral college votes and a second term. This also assumes Alaska, where the current margins are not so close. But anyway, it's just one poll out there, but it kind of is insight into what's going on or what's not going on, and certainly I paid attention to it.
Boy, and you talk about voter suppression. Also, when it comes to the media, how are they reacting now to the Trump voters?
Well, I've got another thing that kind of, you know, just made my head spin around practically. This is coming from a very interesting guy. This is coming from Roger Simon. Now, he's a columnist for the Epoch Times and well-known to a lot of people. But what people don't know is that he's an Oscar-nominated screenplay writer from Hollywood, and he knows some manufactured drama when he sees it. And he is now warning people that the media is honing in on Trump voters to kind of cause them depression and so forth and so on. Let me just tell you what Mr. Simon says. He's warning people that the news media is guilty of psyops, meaning psychological operations. He says that they're coming up with a program that is meant to, and I'm quoting him directly, to design to depress and silence the roughly 71 million who voted for Trump and rally the 70-something million, if they indeed exist, he says, who voted for Biden. So if you're wondering why you feel weird or depressed or questioning or whatever the heck it is, Mr. Simon, who knows this manufactured drama when he sees it, he's claiming that the media is directly guilty of media psyops. He said, for example, last Saturday, a week ago, President Trump got a little chance to play some golf, and CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, the AP, and USA Today, virtually in unison, he says, as if operating on some kind of prearranged cue, all made the call for Joe Biden, with Fox News joining in about 10 minutes later. And so he's saying they're all following the same scripts, and he's warning people, be careful, be on the lookout for media psyops.
You know, one of the mantras for the Trump campaign was promises made, promises kept. And President Trump kept many of his campaign promises from 2016. You have an article about a broken promise already from former Vice President Biden, and he's not even been certified the president-elect yet.
Boy, howdy, yes. He got caught in something. I wish I could claim ownership of this particular situation, but I won't. Let me just tell you what it is. And let's consider that first presidential debate. You know, it kind of seems like it was in another century at this point, but believe it or not, it was only 46 days ago. Anyway, it was loud and cranky and all that other stuff. But in the middle of that, Fox News debate moderator Chris Wallace, he asked Mr. Biden a very specific question, and this is what it was. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted, and will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified? This is what he was asked. And Mr. Biden said, yes. Plain and simple, yes. And then he continued, and here's the deal. We'll count the ballots. As you pointed out, some of these ballots in some states can't even be opened until Election Day. And if there's thousands of ballots, it's going to take time to do it. That's exactly what he said. And the person that spied this or remembered it was Breitbart News analyst Alana Mastrangelo. I hope I got her name pronounced right, but I wanted to give her credit for it because it was significant. He said, oh, I'm going to be fair. But obviously, well, we won't even go there. How about that? And, you know, in the meantime, President Trump, he's got a lot to say about this kind of tag team that's going on between the news media and the social media forces and the Democratic Party. And Mr. Trump said this week, the media is working overtime with the Democrats to convince you that voter fraud didn't happen in the election. And that's what he said in a public outreach. And, you know, that prompted me to look up a poll about how voters feel. Do they actually trust the election system right now? And the numbers aren't very good like about that. There was a Political Morning Consult poll of close to 2,000 registered U.S. voters conducted in November 69. They said, do you trust the U.S. election system? And out of that number, only 29% said they trust it a lot. That included 13% of Republicans, 25% of independents, and a whopping 44% of Democrats, of course. So that's kind of the situation we're in. So no wonder we all feel kind of like, eh.
Well, speaking of wah, the incoming media blitz from the former President Barack Obama, of course, he's got the 700-plus page memoir coming out. He's on 60 Minutes tomorrow night. And they put out a few preview clips where, of course, he's complaining about the Republicans' concerns about the election. What do we anticipate in the weeks ahead from the former president?
Well, I think this is just the beginning because, indeed, as you mentioned, we've talked about this before. He has a 768-page memoir coming out on Tuesday, not until Tuesday, but the blitz is already on. It's called A Promised Land. This is actually volume one of his memoirs. He's got another one coming out as soon as he can write it. But all that aside, he does have some significant media appearances coming up. And he will be on CBS this morning, tomorrow morning with Gail King, followed by a sit-down with Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. And CBS was so entranced by all this, they said on the same Sunday, 12 years ago, Mr. Obama appeared on 60 Minutes with his wife, Michelle, in their first post-election interview. So they're getting all nostalgic about that. And the book, of course, has been number one on Amazon all week. This often happens with these books that get incredible amounts of free publicity, and certainly that's the case. And this book number one is going to dwell on Mr. Obama's presidency in the first couple of years. And he does go into the whole birther question and so forth. But one of the excerpts that came out so handily, this is what they have to say. The principal irritants who get perhaps more attention than necessary are the stars of the conservative media subculture, such as Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and the primetime stars of Fox News. This is coming from National Public Radio. That's what they reported on it. And they're going to interview Mr. Obama on Monday, and Oprah Winfrey will interview Mr. Obama on Tuesday. And also they say that Obama contemplates the swelling power of populist sentiment on the right, from Sarah Palin as the vice presidential nominee in 2008. And Obama said that she had no idea what the hell she was talking about. So it's kind of like all the decorum and civility is out the window right now. So anyway, you got a blitz in your hands, folks.
So if Joe Biden is certified as the president-elect when the Electoral College votes in December, a lot of speculation about what President Trump would do next. And one of the things that's been discussed is the possibility of President Trump founding his own broadcast network. After what Fox did with Arizona, it wouldn't surprise me, but what are you hearing?
Well, there's just a lot out there about that. I figured, well, maybe we'll see DJT TV out there sooner or later. But you have to remember, let's go back to when the Obamas left office, former President Obama and Michelle Obama. Well, guess what? Let's remember, they joined Netflix the minute they got out of office as producers. And that deal was $100 million, according to The Hill. Yeah, I didn't come up with that one either. But that's a $100 million deal. That was what the rumor was, along with the $65 million they got for their memoirs. But they did join Netflix. So that's something that has already been done. But, yes, there is a lot of talk out there. And I think Axios said that they had the big news on that. And they say, scoop, Trump eyes digital media empire to take on Fox News. That was coming from Axios co-founder Mike Allen. And he noted that Mr. Trump's big, enormous database and community contacts left over from his campaign would be a very hefty benefit. And, you know, for those who want to go the worst-case scenario and say Mr. Trump doesn't make it, well, if he comes out as a producer with his own digital network, he may be more powerful than ever. Who's going to stop that? So that's something to think about.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you very much. It is 6:48. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Up next, we'll talk with Jim Trusty. And first, we're going over to the WMAL Travel Center. Michelle Murray is there with us this morning.
Keep in mind that demonstration activity will be closing down several downtown streets in the National Mall area throughout the day, including Constitution Avenue between Pennsylvania Avenue and 18th Street, and also Independence Avenue in Southwest between 14th Street and Ohio Drive, among many other street closures in the area. Also, watch out for the road work on the outer loop of the Beltway between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard along the left side of the roadway, causing very slow traffic through the area. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny skies today. High pressure dominating the region on this Saturday. Temperatures, they're going to be in the cool side, only into the mid-50s. As we head tonight, clouds will be on the increase, particularly late. We'll see lows back in the 40s across the region. For your Sunday, showers will become likely as a strong cold front moves through. Breezy winds as well. Most likely timing for the rain, early afternoon through the mid-afternoon hours. High temperatures tomorrow in the mid-60s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
43 degrees, 6:49 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and so much attention being paid to litigation being filed by the Trump campaign around the country. And who better than to analyze it than Jim Trusty? He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. DOJ. He is now at IFRA Law here in Washington, D.C. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Well, I'm confused, so maybe you can help us out. The election litigation, depending on what you read or what you listen to or what you watch, you really can get confused as to lawsuits in the different states may be able to continue in the direction the campaign would like to see, and which of those will dead end. So can you walk us through some of the most important ones and where we stand?
Sure. I mean, at the risk of making it even more confusing. So here's the starting point, Rick, is that some of the things that are being described as wins and losses are not really that clearly wins or losses. So I'll kind of walk you through this without getting too much into the weeds. A lot of press attention to, at first, Donald Trump apparently winning in the Pennsylvania state court. And that's literally true, but if you read the opinion, you find a troublesome footnote. And, you know, sometimes footnotes are where the bombs are buried. And in the footnote, it basically suggests that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court may need to calibrate some changes, like voter verification, with its previous ruling that allowed for the late mailing of ballots. So it kind of reads like, okay, President Trump, you win for now, but as soon as it gets to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, you're going to lose. And, of course, there's already been some judicial activism on that case with the state Supreme Court. So Pennsylvania is still one to watch. I think the constitutional challenge to what was going on with the state Supreme Court changing the rules right before the election, that's the one that's got some potential that could be pretty interesting. And it's really independent of fraud. It's just a constitutional challenge to who makes the rules. Similarly, yesterday they were reporting that there was a big loss for the president in Arizona. Well, the loss was on a preliminary injunction trying to stop the vote counting. And they got to a point where they realized there wasn't enough votes left for a preliminary injunction to matter. But the merits, the big case in Arizona, is still alive. And so, again, this is reported as a loss, but you have to know kind of the process or the procedure to know whether it's a real loss. The only one that I think was a clear loss for the president over the last couple of days was in Wayne County, Michigan, with Detroit. Now, again, the judge was dealing with a preliminary injunction, which is a very different kind of burden of proof, different standard. But in that case, the judge made specific findings that Republican statements, in other words, people that were poll watchers, that they were not credible. And the problem with that for President Trump's team is when a trial judge makes a determination about credibility, that doesn't usually get overturned on appeal. It's a very powerful way to kind of insulate yourself from appeal if you're that lower court judge. And I'll just say one thing. There was one example of, I think, real ridiculous reasoning by the judge. There was a witness who testified through his declaration that he saw a truckload of Biden-only ballots appearing in the middle of the night in an out-of-state vehicle at the back door of the polling station. So it sounded really suspicious. Well, the judge waded into this and said, well, wait a minute, you know, we have other people swearing that all of the trucks were rental trucks and that all of the ballots were delivered to the back door. But when it came to the issue of whether all of these ballots were for Biden, the judge says, well, considering Biden had 220,000 more votes than Trump, this is no surprise. And I thought that's the very definition of circular logic. I mean, the allegation is there's a whole bunch of Biden-only ballots showing up in the middle of the night, and the judge uses essentially the fact that there were that many Biden ballots as somehow evidence that there's no problem here. So that's a little suspect, but the bottom line is the appeal is kind of insulated when a judge determines things on credibility.
I have a two-pronged question. Number one, what type of evidence would hold up and potentially survive through the legal process? And along with that, would be able to potentially nullify enough votes that President Trump gets back into the ballgame?
Yeah, that's a great question. And look, the first thing is you've got to have some pretty powerful evidence of fraud if that's your main challenge. And again, it's not immune to counterattacks, as we saw with this Michigan case. But I think you've got to find something that's kind of undeniably clear if you're trying to use fraud as your basis for overturning the election. And what seems to be the best example of that would be like a software problem. If there's an algorithm or malware where somehow the software was flipping votes to Joe Biden at Donald Trump's expense, if you can get to that point where you can prove kind of systematic intentional fraud, and then the other way to get there is if you have a broader constitutional challenge. And right now, the only one that's shaping up as a particularly powerful challenge on constitutional grounds seems to be Pennsylvania, because the Supreme Court's already shown an interest in what the activist Pennsylvania Supreme Court did. But there could be some other equal protection type claims married up with fraud with where you have an opportunity to get to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I want to turn to the memo that came out from Attorney General William Barr that authorized prosecutors throughout the country to look into, quote, substantial allegations of voting fraud without seeking the approval of the department's election crimes section. Of course, there was outrage expressed. So I want to get your read on the Attorney General's memo.
Yeah, this story is absolutely maddening if you know some of the nuance of it. So Barr sent out a memo that basically told all the U.S. attorney's offices, all the senior officials at the U.S. attorney's offices all across the country, hey, I trust you, you're senior prosecutors. I just want you to know if you see something big, feel free to jump on it without stopping at public integrity in D.C. first. He's literally clearing away the permission slip requirement that would have U.S. attorneys all across the country log jammed over at D.C. asking permission from, you know, essentially the Maytag repairman, a guy sitting there at public integrity waiting to approve of these types of investigations. He doesn't order them to do anything. He doesn't prejudge that there are big cases, but he makes the point that if there's a really big case, like maybe a Dominion software fraud case dealing with the election, that you should go ahead and investigate it. It is remarkable that, you know, only in D.C. do people have a spasm of horror at that sort of memo. Everyone else in the U.S. Attorney's Office is like, thanks for clearing away some of the bureaucracy. And, you know, again, it's pretty clear that this was a small moment of clearing bureaucracy rather than some giant oppression of the masses by evil Mr. Barr. So now you have 15 assistant U.S. attorneys who wrote a protest letter. And I have to tell you, Rick, this is the kind of self-righteous garbage that's been coming out of DOJ in the last year or two, you know, disagreeing with your bosses, having a tantrum, leaking stuff to the newspaper. I mean, is it any wonder that people think DOJ is political when these knuckleheads run around overreacting to a routine memo?
Jim, I saved the best, using the term loosely, for last. Headline, MSNBC's Joy Reid and Congressman Adam Schiff say Republicans investigating a Biden administration would be a degradation of our democracy. After 4 years of the unfounded investigations on Donald Trump, well, no hypocrisy or double standards there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the standard is when you call this the best of anything. But look, I mean, Adam Schiff has zero credibility. This guy was a hanging judge, a person that would pronounce guilt first and wait for evidence later, and the evidence never came in. But it didn't stop him from running out of the room in Congress to go have breathless press conferences every time he thought he had some level of proof that President Trump was a Russian agent. So, look, I mean, the worst part is not just the politics of Adam Schiff, who's quite comfortable being dishonest. The worst part is that this is really the beginning of what I would call anticipatory obstruction. This is signaling that, hey, you know, we're not going to let you ask questions about Hunter and Joe and China, Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan. You know, we're going to shut you down if you investigate the wrong things. And so if you thought that DOJ was politicized because of things like Jim Comey and Michael Flynn, you know, wait till Adam Schiff gets his hooks on it. If they're going to shut down legitimate inquiries, not necessarily even indictments, but just investigations, we're going to have a tough 4 years.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in D.C. You can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you, Rick. Have a good weekend.
7 o'clock news is coming up, and then we'll talk with John Gizzi. He was at that White House coronavirus briefing yesterday, and that is just among the highlights of the 7 o'clock hour.
For years, you've been thinking about getting LASIK. You've been talking about getting LASIK. And now, it's finally time to get LASIK. Plus, right now, you can save $1,000 on your treatment, so schedule your free LASIK exam today. Call 844-211-2020 or visit LASIK1000.com. If you're nearsighted, farsighted, or have astigmatism, LASIK Plus may help fix your vision with a convenient and patient-focused experience. You'll be treated by Dr. Neil Wills, one of America's most experienced LASIK providers with over 95,000 procedures performed. Call 844-211-2020 or visit LASIK1000.com today and schedule your free LASIK exam to save $1,000. That's 844-211-2020 or visit LASIK1000.com. $1,000 discount applies to treating both eyes with Wavelight procedure. Must mention this ad at center and be treated in November 2020 to qualify. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses. Results may vary. See details at LASIK1000.com.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.